Sky has rated the following film as 15. This film contains strong language and flashing images unsuitable for viewers with photosensitive epilepsy.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Charlie Wilson's War, starring Tom Hanks as Charlie Wilson, Julia Roberts as Joanne Herring, Philip Seymour Hoffman as Gus Stavrakotis, and Amy Adams as Bonnie Bach. Directed by Mike Nichols. Audio described by Liam McLaughlin on behalf of MCS Agency. A silhouette of a man praying under the starry night sky. He finishes, picks up a rocket launcher, stands, and fires it towards the screen. The title, Charlie Wilson's War, emerges from the flames. The letters gradually assume the colours of the American flag. A large airline hangar. People are sat in two columns of chairs facing a raised stage with a massive Stars and Stripes American flag hanging behind it. On the stage, one man touches another man's arm reassuringly. Seated men on the stage reverently stand to attention, followed by the entire crowd. The man in whose honor this ceremony is being performed appears nervous, yet shyly proud. The crowd respectfully admire him, and some people whisper to each other. A banner reading Charlie did it is visible. Another man approaches a microphone, and the crowd is seated.
The defeat and breakup of the Soviet Empire, culminating in the crumbling of the Berlin Wall, is one of the great events of world history. There were many heroes in this battle, but to Charlie Wilson must go this special recognition. Just 13 years ago, the Soviet Army appeared to be invincible. But Charlie, undeterred, engineered a lethal body blow that weakened the Communist Empire. Without Charlie, history would be hugely and sadly different. And so, for the first time, a civilian is being given our highest recognition, that of honored colleague. Ladies and gentlemen of the clandestine services, Congressman Charles Wilson.
The crowd stand and the speaker shakes Charlie's hand. Charlie himself goes to the microphone at the pulpit and appears somewhat overwhelmed yet appreciative of the applause. The following is based on a true story. On April the 6th, 1980, Charlie is at a hotel party drinking heavily in a jacuzzi with a man and two naked girls.
It'd be like Dallas.
That's rough.
You know what I'm saying?
Like Dallas, but set in Washington.
Yeah.
You should say it just like that.
When I pitch it.
You should say it just, this is fucking great. You should say it just like that.
Dallas set in Washington, D.C.
You know, with the intrigue and the power plays and the overt natural sex.
The glamour. Power.
Do you know what I say?
It's fucking Dallas.
Or Falcon Crest.
Yes.
But it's set in Washington. Say it to Charlie like that.
The resistance fighters disguised us as one of them.
Charlie. It's like Dallas, but in Washington.
Blue Crystal and the Star and Roll.
Yeah.
You tell me when to watch. I'll make sure I'm home.
You don't think I can make it happen?
I don't know anything about how any of that works.
I do.
You said that you would listen to him. That's why we're here.
Do they routinely give star and roles on network programs to people who haven't acted professionally before?
She was just on the fucking cover of Playboy, Charlie.
Well, I guess that's just the same thing.
Would you take this seriously, please?
I am taking it seriously, hon, but can you all tell me something? What is Dan Rather wearing right now?
What?
Dan Rather. Well, what is he wearing?
You're watching TV.
Why hadn't he shaved?
Well, who gives a damn?
Well, excuse me. Hey, excuse me. Could you turn that up? Could you just turn up the volume on the TV?
I'm completely high.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Still, could you just grab the remote there and find the volume button?
Charlie, are we going to do business?
Dan Rather. He's wearing a turban, Paul. Don't you want to know why?
He's doing a thing from India.
No, let's say Afghanistan.
Got it.
Appreciate it.
Captured it from the Afghan army.
Does he have ammunition for this? He has three, but does he have ammunition? A lot of ammunition?
But
he's talking about the Mujahideen.
We didn't capture
priests?
No, Mujahideen means like holy warriors. How the hell am I supposed to know?
America seems to be asleep. It doesn't seem to realize that if Afghanistan goes and the Russians go over to the Gulf, that in a very short time it's going to be the turn of the United States as well.
I'm sure he knows that in Vietnam.
Excuse me. We were just wondering what you do for a living.
I'm not a police officer, if that's what you're asking.
No. We don't meet a lot of guys here who both, you know about the world and like to party.
No, I'm a member of the U.S. House of Representatives.
I'm sorry?
I'm a congressman.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm absolutely serious. I'm Charlie Wilson. I represent the Texas 2nd Congressional District. Texas. This is Crystal Lee. This is Paul Brown. What are your names?
Stacy.
Kelly.
Well, it's nice to meet you both.
If you are a congressman, should you be in here with strippers and blow?
Hey, I'm not a stripper.
I am a stripper. I'm a stripper.
Yeah, see, they were talking about themselves. You know, you do have a point there. I really should get going.
Oh.
Little pruny.
Look, Charlie, I need $29,000 to make it happen, and you know I can make it happen, and you know you want in on this.
Hey, who wants to take a ride with me to the airport?
Paul?
You see it? A holy war against the Soviets. A war, they say, that if they get weapons from us or anyone else in the free world, they will win.
Considering, Charlie walks away from the TV.
Yeah, I'm with Congressman Charles Wilson and Crystal Lee.
I wish you wouldn't do that.
From Texas.
Has there ever been a show about Washington? I don't think there has.
Me neither.
Thank you. We got the suite another night, comped.
Should I go back?
No.
You can't stay another night?
No.
Stay another night.
I can't. I have a vote.
Why, an important one?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, it's a non-binding resolution expressing the sense of the Congress that the Department of Defense should continue to exercise its authority to support the Boy Scouts of America.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Come on, Charlie, call Razor Fold. I want to get an answer on this thing with Crystal when I want First to. Off, I'd appreciate it if you didn't throw my name around quite so much, because from time to time I use it myself and I need it in good condition. Second, I'm from Lufkin, Texas. I'm the son of an accountant for a timber company. I take home about $700 a week. I pay alimony. So the idea that I got $29,000 in the bank is pretty hysterical. That said, I love your idea. Chris, I'll call you this week. All right. Stacy Kelly, nice to meet you both.
Mm-hmm.
Are you Nevada residents?
Yeah.
Well, don't forget to vote.
Bye. We love you.
Oh, it helps not to know me. Oh, that is for you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye, Charlie.
I love Las Vegas.
The White House.
All right, what else?
That Dairy Queen guy, Larry Little, sitting in your office.
Hey, yeah, I told him he could come in.
He wants to talk to you about a crush.
What, a nativity scene with baby Jesus?
Yeah, it's on public property and the city's making a
move. Shit, I thought he was just coming in to get his picture took, you know?
Congressman,
yeah.
You're exactly who I need to speak to. You have a moment?
Sure.
Tip asked me to talk to you.
Okay.
He wanted me to talk to you about John Murtha.
Go ahead.
The prosecutor is going to go after him.
Well, they ain't going to find anything. John Murtha's as clean as my mother's kitchen floor.
Yeah, but Tip would like to put you on the ethics committee, just the same.
You're kidding.
No.
Well, Jesus, Dunley, everyone in town knows I'm on the other side of that issue.
Ethics?
Yeah.
Well, the speaker'd like to put you on the committee anyway.
Okay. Well, if anyone asks what the hell I'm doing on the ethics committee, we'll just tell them I like chasing women and drinking whiskey, and the speaker felt we were underrepresented.
One man, one vote.
Exactly.
Tip's going to want to return the favor. Tuesday, right?
Oh, that is Tuesday, yeah.
So, if anything comes up that you'd like me to speak with them about, please.
Yes. Yes. I'd like to be on the board of directors of the Kennedy Center.
Charlie.
I'm sorry. It
turns out Congress appoints the board of directors of the Kennedy Center. It's a great place to take a date, and I can never afford the tickets.
Consider it done.
Excellent.
Go vote.
We've got a few minutes. Let's see what's on the wires.
Why can't you wait for newspapers like everybody else?
Well, I think it's productive to know today's news today. And it makes me one day smarter than you, which I enjoy as well.
I know you do. You don't think that's a little crazy?
NM and Eastern are lowering their fares.
Because of Brandon.
What's a little crazy?
Joining the board of the Kennedy Center so you can get free tickets to the Royal Ballet.
Hold on.
What?
AP story out of Kabul.
Uzbekistan?
Afghanistan. Russia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Israel, Egypt.
Charlie regards the newswire with interest.
Jim Van Wagenen's our point man in black approach for the defense subcommittee?
Yeah.
Have him come to my office as soon as possible. How am I voting on this?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
The Boy Scouts.
Uh-huh.
Jim Van Wagenen, get him and show him that wire story.
Yes, sir.
You are the man I want to talk to.
Charlie's office.
The congressman will be here in a moment. He's just coming up from a vote.
I'm sure it's an important one.
No, not really.
So, Marla, can you fit this into a schedule next week?
Charlie Wilson's office. Good morning.
The third?
It is. How are you?
Suzanne, can you help me with this?
Okay.
I'll be right back.
I'm doing it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Miss.
Yes, sir?
It seems to me, looking around, that it's almost all women working here. And that they're all very pretty. Is that common?
Well, Congressman Wilson, he has an expression. He says you can teach him to type, but you can't teach him to grow tits.
Well, that's charming.
Larry, Congressman.
No, no, no. For $5,000 every 2 years, you get to call me Charlie. And for $10,000, you can call me Betty Sue. Now clean out your rain gutters.
This is my daughter, Jane.
Well, now I remember
Charlie
Jane,
Wilson's office.
Well,
good morning.
You. Welcome to the United States Congress. Hey, I'm going to talk to your daddy for a couple of seconds. Larry, can we get you a drink?
It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Fair enough, I guess.
Charlie motions to his secretary.
Grab a seat. Now, this situation with the creche, I want to know all about it.
Well, sir, every single year since the world was young, the firehouse in Nacogdoches Township has displayed a creche.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ACLU has filed suit against the township for displaying a religious symbol on public property.
Huh.
It's Christmas time. It's a creche. I can understand if we were in gosh darn Scarsdale, but this is East Texas, and I want to know who we're offending. Except two lawyers from the ACLU.
Well, that is a terribly interesting and complicated question. Let me make this suggestion, though. There's a church about a block and a half from that firehouse, First Baptist Church of Nacogdoches. They got a beautiful rolling lawn out there in front.
No, this is a Christian country, Charlie, founded on Christian values.
Sure.
We welcome other faiths to worship as they wish, but when you can't put a nativity scene in front of a firehouse at Christmas time in Nacogdoches Township, something's gone terribly wrong.
Well, that's not really true, Larry. You could move that creche over to that church and everything's just fine.
That's not the point.
Okay. Why don't we just start back at the beginning? What can I do for you?
You can intervene in the case against the creche committee.
Intervene? How?
You appointed the judge.
I don't appoint judges. I just made a recommendation to the president.
Uh-huh. I think you and I both know what that means.
I cannot just call up a judge and tell him what to do.
Why?
Well, because it's against a shitload of really good laws, Gary.
Larry.
Oh, Larry. I gotta go talk to this guy out here for a second. Will you excuse me? By the way, I love Jesus Christ and his mother Mary as much as anybody. About 38 churches you could move that creche to. Everybody lives.
Give me a call.
Okay.
I love Shivas.
Jane, how are you? You need a cup of coffee, something to drink, anything like that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Jim.
Congressman.
You see Letter's AP story out of Kabul?
Yeah, we're reading the story every day now.
You see Dan Rather last night?
Yeah, I did.
Tell me something. What is the Defense Subcommittee's budget for covert ops against the communists in Afghanistan?
All in?
All in.
It's $5 million.
Charlie grimaces.
Well, they can't shoot down a helicopter for $5 million, Jim. Though they're trying to. It's more than I can say for us. Get everybody together for me, will you? And double it.
Charlie Wilson's office.
Wait, I'm sorry, sir?
Definitely.
The covert ops budget. Double it.
Jim raises his hand in defeat.
Okay.
This ain't gonna be much longer, okay?
You got it.
Cool.
Thank you.
Here's what I'm gonna do, Larry.
Charlie Wilson's office. Maybe in about 20 minutes. Just going into a meeting.
Sure.
My XO wrote in a report I was the best officer he ever served at sea with, and the worst officer he ever served in port with. You can look it up. That's a graduated from Annapolis with the second most demerits of any midshipman in the history of the Naval Academy.
Well, who had the most? I want to sleep with him. It's hotter here in D.C. than in Nacogdoches. So I hope you don't mind. I took off a few of my clothes.
Well, I'm just gonna have to live with that, Jane.
Just call me Angel.
Jane descends the stairs of the open-plan top floor, sultrily wearing only a shirt and knickers. Charlie offers her his hand casually.
Come on out here. I'm gonna show you the best view in the district.
You want some of this?
No, I got this.
I like both.
It must be great being me.
I've heard it is.
Iwo Jima Memorial is at Lincoln, Washington. I followed around to the right. Jefferson Memorial, the Arlington Bridge, and there's the Pentagon.
Oh, that's the Pentagon.
That's the Pentagon.
I thought I'd show you the second best view in the district.
Watch, Jane. Would you like
And that was predictable.
Just give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
That was an extraordinary thing you did today.
Who's this?
It's Joanne.
Joanne? Why, gosh, how nice to hear from you. Could I call you back in a little bit?
Is Ronald Reagan in your bedroom right now?
No.
Then I'm considerably more important than whoever is.
Anything wrong?
This is going to take just a second or two. Okay. I'm all yours. What did I do that was so extraordinary?
Double it.
Because I was told you didn't have a girlfriend.
What?
You told Jim Van Wagenen to double it.
Well, shit, Joanne, I don't know what you're talking about, and if I did, it'd be classified, and I'd wonder where you got your information on the subcommittee.
Oh, what do you care, hon?
It's a little matter of national security, and can't help but think.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. I was told you didn't have a girlfriend.
I don't. This isn't my girlfriend. It's the 6th wealthiest woman in Texas, which is still pretty good. Okay, so, hi.
A friend of mine has made a terrific movie about the need for American aid to Afghanistan.
He's made a movie?
Yes. I'm going to run this movie Friday night at my house at a fundraiser. You know, you've never been to my house, Charlie.
You want me to come to Houston to see a movie?
There'll be women and wealthy donors. See you Friday.
Yes, ma'am.
Charlie hangs up. He turns his attention to Jane, who appears to be asleep with her head in his lap.
Hey. Mm-mm. Hey.
Mm-mm.
With his arm still around her, he picks up a remote control and irritably turns off the music.
Thank you, Joanne.
In the CIA headquarters.
Okay. I know it was difficult for you to come in here hat in hand. That's not the kind of upbringing, I guess is the word I'm looking for. It's not the kind of man you are. I understand that. I'm not looking to humiliate you or exact a price in any way, so why don't you just apologize? We'll call it water under the dam and we'll go about our business.
Excuse me, what the fuck?
What?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Claire George said you were coming in here to apologize.
No, I'm supposed to come in here so you could apologize to me.
According to whom?
Claire George.
You told me to go fuck myself. I'm supposed to apologize to you?
Also, water goes over a dam and under a bridge, you poncy schoolboy.
Clearly, there's been a miscommunication between Claire George and somebody.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Does this look all right?
It's fine. Thank
you. I can sand it down a little.
I don't know. No fucking idea who this guy is.
He is here to fix the glass that you broke the last time you were here. Could you just excuse us for a second?
Yes. There.
Tell me to go fuck myself and I'm supposed to apologize. Yeah. You break my window, I'm supposed to
apologize. The Helsinki job was mine.
The Helsinki job was not yours. If it was yours, you'd be in Helsinki.
Alan Wolf stood in this
Alan
office.
Alan Wolf is no longer the director.
It was on the
Alan
books.
Alan Wolf is no longer the director of European operations. He does not make those appointments, I do.
Promises were made.
Not by me.
I've been with the company for 24 years. I was posted in Greece for 15. Papandreou wins that election if I don't help the junta take him prisoner. I've advised and armed the Hellenic army. I've neutralized champions of communism. I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish, which should come in handy here in Virginia, and I'm never ever sick at sea. So I want to know why I'm not going to be your Helsinki station chief.
Your course.
Excuse me.
For Helsinki, I need someone with diplomatic skills. You don't have them.
Is that right?
That is right, and I don't know why the hell I didn't fire you when you broke my fucking window.
Oh, yes, sure you do, Cravely.
Look, Gust.
Yeah, you're fucking Roger's fiancé, and you know I know.
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Yeah, you're dignifying her in the ass at the Jefferson Hotel, room 1210. But let me ask you, the 3,000 agents Turner fired, was that because they lacked diplomatic skills as well?
You're referring to Admiral Stansfield Turner?
Yeah, the 3,000 agents, each and every goddamn one of them, first or second generation Americans. Was that because they lacked the proper diplomatic skills? Or did Turner not think it was a good idea to have spies who could speak the same language as the people they're fucking spying on?
Well, I'm sorry, but you can hardly blame the director for questioning the loyalty to America of people that are just barely Americans in the first place.
Yeah, well, I'd like to take a moment to review the several ways in which you're a douchebag.
Get the fuck out of my office.
Yes, sir.
Before I end your career, asshole.
Yes, sir. Yeah, my friend, I'm gonna need you for a second.
Gustavo Cotas hits the office window.
God damn it! My loyalty? For 24 years, people have been trying to kill me. People know how. Now, do you think that's because my dad was a Greek soda pop maker, or do you think that's because I'm an American spy? Go fuck yourself, you fucking child.
Gust, who sports tinted glasses, a moustache, and is rotund, strides away from the office. He addresses a woman privately.
How was it?
She gives him a thumbs up. Next, a canteen.
There was a woman, an Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, named Nitsa. And she thinks she's a witch. She offered to put a curse on Cravely for me.
Yeah?
And she asked me, do I want a professional curse or a health curse? And if it's a health curse, I can do right away, but a professional curse takes longer. Huh? But I'm living proof you're right about that.
Did you get the brownie?
Oh, no, sir, I didn't.
I got you. I'm reading transcripts of phone conversations between French and German generals arguing over office space at NATO headquarters, and analyzing wiretaps out of Mercury Bay, New Zealand. You know, historically a hotbed of anti-American activity. Nobody will come near me. I'm in the weeds.
You know, a typical case officer doesn't walk into his boss's office and tell him to go fuck himself. Twice.
I just told you I paid a witch in Pennsylvania $80 to put a curse on Henry Cravely for me. Do I sound like a typical case officer?
No.
Well, then, let's assume I'm not.
Listen, if you're really not doing anything, why don't you come upstairs and work with us?
What are you doing?
Killing Russians.
Next, Joanne's party.
Our next slave girl is a Texas rose named Ashley Rensler. Ashley is pre-law at UT, and her three sorority sisters from Delta, Delta, Delta will wash her car or truck in special outfits they have chosen for the occasion. So who wants their wheels clean, clean as a whistle by a 19-year-old lawyer and her three friends from Tri-Delta? I have 10,000 to give you.
Charlie watches the proceedings in a white tuxedo.
Oh my God, she is a minute woman.
No, she's a Tri-Delta.
She is a minute woman, Charlie.
Oh, Joanne. Yeah, she's a direct descendant of George Washington's sister. Says she had a great uncle who was killed at the Alamo. Former Miss Cotton Ball. Had her own local television talk show. Look, Pakistan's honorary consul to Houston, Texas. How's that for a title, huh?
This is an ultra-right-wing group of anti-communist fanatics.
They're not ultra-right-wing.
What are they?
Well, they're ultra-right-wing.
What are you doing hanging around this woman?
Did you hear me say she was a former Miss Cotton Ball?
You're unbelievable.
Oh, come on. You're going to love her. And you know, one of the things she's trying to do over there is liberate the women.
And what better way than through a slave girl auction?
Charlie?
Joanne approaches.
So sorry for keeping you waiting.
No, it's no problem, Joanne. This is Bonnie Bach.
So nice to meet you.
Joanne kisses Charlie on the lips.
It's a pleasure meeting you, Mrs. Herring. This is a wonderful party.
Why don't you give us a few moments?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Bobby, you could ask someone for a Bombay martini up very dry.
Oh, I'm not a slave girl, actually. I'm the congressman's administrative assistant.
Isn't that wonderful for you?
Yes.
Two olives, please. Tell him it's for me, they'll know.
Certainly.
Bonnie leaves, offended.
She doesn't like me.
Everybody likes you.
She's a liberal.
I'm a liberal.
Not where it counts. Have you seen the house?
Well, I've seen the downstairs. What's upstairs?
14 bedrooms.
I should have a look.
What did you think of the movie?
Well, that thing we just saw?
The reason for the party, yes.
Not an expert in the field or anything, but the production quality seemed amateurish to me.
Yeah, I'm not submitting the thing for a Golden Globe nomination, Charlie. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, as a member of the Defense Subcommittee, did you think I wasn't aware that the Soviet Union's invaded Afghanistan?
Yes, I believe my government is aware, but I was wondering if they were thinking of doing anything about it other than boycotting the Olympics, which I think you'll agree was a fairly impotent response to the greatest national security threat we've faced since the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Well, I don't think making more movies about it is going to do the trick, if that's what you're asking.
It's not. Exactly how much power do you have as a member of the subcommittee?
Which one? I'm on two.
Foreign ops.
Eight members and myself hand out $11 billion in foreign assistance.
And what about the defense subcommittee?
Our budget is hidden.
It is also unlimited.
Yeah.
Would you like to see my room?
Yeah.
She shuts her bedroom door.
So unless I'm wrong, and that would be unusual for me, you sit at the intersection of the State Department, the Pentagon, and the CIA. You meet in a soundproof room underneath the Capitol, and you preside over a secret and unlimited budget for the three agencies you would need to conduct a covert war. Isn't that right?
I also have seats at the Kennedy Center.
Isn't that how you were able to double the CIA budget for black apropos in Afghanistan just by saying so?
Why are you only asking me questions you already know the answers to?
Why is Congress saying one thing and doing nothing?
Well, tradition mostly.
Joanne puts her drink down, then gazes at Charlie knowingly. He sips his drink, then holds her gaze.
Come here.
Okay.
Bonnie is meanwhile sitting on the bottom of the stairs with two dogs, guiltily chugging a full glass of alcohol. Next, Charlie and Joanne in her bathroom.
I do not understand the energy women have after sex. You're dancing around.
You're baking a pie.
Charlie?
Yes, ma'am.
Why is the CIA running a fake war in Afghanistan?
They're doing everything they can.
They're doing it badly.
The CIA is arming the Mujahideen. Where do you think they're getting their weapons?
They're arming them with 12.7 millimeter Dushukas, which would be good, except the Soviets have specifically armor-plated their Hind helicopter to resist a 12.7 millimeter shell. We sold Pakistan F-16s, but didn't give them the look-down, shoot-down radar. If this were a real war, state would issue a white paper outlining the communist threat the way they did in El Salvador. If this were a real war, there'd be a national bipartisan commission on Afghanistan, headed by Henry Kissinger, the way they did in Central America. If this were a real war, Congress would authorize $24 million for covert operations the way you did in Nicaragua. If this were a real war.
You may be the sexiest woman ever. I'm not kidding. You are Helena Troy.
Are you patronizing me?
What do you want me to do, Joanne?
This is what I want you to do. I want you to save Afghanistan for the Afghans. I want you to deliver such a crushing defeat to the Soviets that communism crumbles, and in so doing, end the Cold War.
I'll tell you, I'd do it too, but I got this Dairy Queen problem in Nacogdoches.
Don't underestimate me, Charlie. Believe everything you've heard.
What exactly do you want me to do?
Go to Pakistan and meet with Zia.
Zia?
Mohammed Zia ul Haq.
He's the president of Pakistan.
I've already arranged it.
You've arranged a meeting between me and the president of Pakistan?
Yes. You're going to Israel next week to meet with Zvi Rafi about the Lavi jets. I want you to attack Pakistan on the end of your trip.
And meet with the president.
Let him convince you that it's a Christian imperative to let the Afghans rid their country of communism.
Okay. It's not likely the president of Pakistan is a Christian, but I'm going to do this for you, Joanne, because you saved my ass once with the pro-lifers, and I owe you my seat in Congress, and because you look very good naked. But I have to tell you, I'm elected by Jews.
How many Jews do you have in your district?
Seven. But congressmen aren't elected by voters. They're elected by contributors, and mine are in, well, New York, Florida, Hollywood, because I'm one of Israel's guys on the Hill. And I don't know how they're going to feel about me taking up the cause of Muslims.
Well, that's your problem.
Yes, it is.
Go fight this war and win it, Charlie. Everything possible is on the line, including your manhood.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say that. Well, I guess it ain't going to be twice tonight.
Well, I guess somebody can't count.
Oh, darling, I was talking about me.
Grainy footage of Soviet Russia. Tanks and soldiers are in tight formation, parading down wide avenues with thousands of people watching, large red sickle and hammer flags hanging in the background. A helicopter hovers above a field. Then more helicopters appear and fly over a barren desert village, firing bullets and missiles indiscriminately at people and houses as they scurry away in terror. The helicopters mercilessly continue the onslaught of carnage, destroying buildings in a wreckage of flame and rubble, and mowing down people with rapid-fire bullets. Next, Charlie is in Islamabad, Pakistan, to meet with the Pakistani president. As Charlie enters, the president gets up to greet him.
Yeah, hey, Congressman Charlie Woodson.
Mr. Congressman.
Mr. President.
A man takes two pictures of Charlie and the president.
Come. Joanne Herring speaks very highly of you.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
These are two of my brightest advisors when it comes to the problem of the Soviets. This is Brigadier Rashid.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you.
Colonel Mahmoud.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you.
Please come.
Thank you.
Charlie and the three Pakistanis all go and sit down.
You must be thirsty. Can we get you a drink?
Oh, actually, I'd love a glass of ice and any kind of whiskey. Rye, Canadian.
The Pakistanis look around awkwardly.
I'm sorry, Congressman. We don't have alcohol in the presidential residence.
Of course, you don't. I apologize. Fruit juice?
Sir, pili phal ka juice leke shabash.
Bet a lot of people make that mistake.
No.
Okay.
Brigadier?
So, you understand the situation on our border?
Yes, sir. I think I do. And I think it's terrible. And I know I speak for all the people in the Texas 2nd Congressional District when I say our thoughts and our prayers are with you.
All the people of the Texas 2nd Congressional District, you say?
Yes, indeed, sir.
3 million Afghan refugees are living like poorly treated livestock. Another 2 million have fled into Iran.
And 2 million more angry men is just what the doctors ordered for Iran, don't you think?
People are dying by the tens of thousands. And the ones that aren't are crossing into Pakistan every day.
Would you like to know how many? 1/5 of Afghanistan now lives in Pakistan's northwest frontier province.
So what I have been wondering is why your State Department would send someone here who thinks he understands the problem. Because I don't think the prayers of the Texas 2nd Congressional District are going to turn the trick.
Well, no, I wasn't sent here by the State Department, Mr. President. I was asked to come here by a friend in Houston. So this is a courtesy call.
I don't need courtesy. I need airplanes, guns, and money.
Well, we just doubled the CIA budget for covert ops.
From 5 million to 10 million.
That's right.
Is that a joke?
No.
Is that meant to be a funny joke?
No, sir.
Congressman, what they're saying is $10 million from the U.S. to fight the Russian army is such a low figure that it can be mistaken for a joke.
I caught up to the sarcasm there, sir. Look, let me be clear. The United States is eager to assist you.
No, you're not.
You're not.
Absolutely not.
I went to Oxford, and I know what that word means. The U.S. is not eager to assist us.
Well, now, it's my understanding that we offered to sell you F-16s. You didn't want them.
Because you refused to sell us the radar.
So to hell with that.
And this is emblematic of American fence-sitting when it comes to fighting the Soviets.
To hell with it.
You sell us the planes, but not the radar. You offer Afghans rifles from the First World War, while Soviet helicopters are killing everything they can find. People, animals, food supplies.
So to hell with it.
Yeah. You sell the Israelis the radar, so that's why he says to hell with it.
Again, I understood, yeah.
Also, the arms and funding should flow through us.
Charlie looks up, shocked.
I'm sorry?
That's been part of the problem. The arms and the funding should flow through us. We have experience with warfare of this kind, and your CIA has an unimpressive track record.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
They missed 130,000 Soviet soldiers walking into Afghanistan.
Okay, we blew that call.
I would say so.
Charlie looks awkward.
Well, I don't want to use up any more of your hospitality, so I will take your message back to my committee chairman, and we will give it our fullest attention.
Let me walk you to the door.
The president gets up. In a courtyard, soldiers stand to attention as Charlie and the president pass.
I learned about you before you came here. I learned that you're a man of many character flaws.
I am.
But I also learned that you never promise anything you cannot deliver.
Well, I don't, Mr. President.
Then promise me this. Go to Peshawar and see the refugee camps, right now, today. Go to Peshawar and see with your own eyes. I have a helicopter waiting to take you.
All right, I'll do it.
Thank you, Mr. Congressman.
Mr. President?
The president puts his hand on his heart, and Charlie politely does the same. He approaches Bonnie.
All right, you, come on.
She gets up and they walk away.
How did it go?
Well, there were three of them. It was like getting slapped around by a Pakistani vaudeville team. You know, you're pretty much at rock bottom when you've been told you have character flaws by a man who hanged his predecessor in a military coup.
Can we go home now?
No, we have to make one more stop.
A brown and yellow camouflage helicopter flies over rugged snow-capped mountains and vast desert valleys with few scatterings of green vegetation. Having gotten out of the helicopter, Charlie and Bonnie are sitting in an army jeep driving along a dirt track with dust billowing up behind them into the haze of the day. Charlie, with dark sunglasses, looks at the lines of people trailing with all their possessions and even dead and wounded bodies through the heat on a track next to theirs. They enter through a checkpoint into a bustling refugee camp. Charlie and Bonnie, who is wearing a shawl, regard the scene apprehensively. People begin to run ahead of the jeep. Then a crowd of people appear and are evidently awaiting an approaching truck, waving their hands desperately to retrieve food and aid. Charlie and Bonnie stand up to get a clearer view. They both appear stunned at the scene. The soldiers on the truck beat back the Eva scavengers with sticks. Two boys aggressively steal a bag of rice from a woman as Charlie and Bonnie watch, horrified. Their jeep leaves the scene. Next, Charlie and Bonnie speak to an injured man in a makeshift hospital.
About 350 people in three small villages in Kandahar. But instead of doing it all at once, the Russians would make the parents watch as they slit the throats of their children.
So, the Russians gathered all the defectors and piled them like wood in the center of the village. Then they ran over them with their tanks.
I saw something shiny on the ground. I
thought it was a toy. When I reached down to grab it, it exploded in my hand. I should have known, because last year my little brother tried to pick up a piece of candy. It split him in half.
It takes more work to take care of a wounded child than a dead one. So when the Russians cover fields with toy mines, adults who might help with the war effort have to take care of the children.
You can see yourself like a bug.
They're beautiful.
How
many children do you have?
She had six.
Bonnie reels momentarily.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Charlie walks through the camp alone, rubbing his face in disbelief. He comes across two people crying over a freshly dug grave. He watches with horror, then turns to see the whole dusty camp behind him, expanding its ragged clutches for miles over hills and the burning desert. Next, the US Embassy in Islamabad.
Hi, I have Congressman Wilson here to see the station chief, Harold Holt.
Down the hall, second door on the left.
Oh, we don't see it.
Look, normally a congressional delegation, we give them a courtesy briefing on the situation, but as you can see, it's getting pretty late. We don't have a whole lot of time anyway, so.
We'll make the time.
Huh?
Fuck your time, Harold. I'm on defense appropriations. I'm catching a plane back to Washington in just a few minutes now. I need a full classified briefing right now.
Harold nods vaguely, hands in pockets.
120,000 Soviet troops in all.
120,000?
40th Army is garrisoned in the cities and in the airports. The 7th and 8th Infantry Divisions are in Kabul, the 18th in Mazar-i-Sharif, the 4th Armored...
Anything inside?
I'm sorry?
They control on anything inside.
Soviet advisors have appropriated the Afghan intel service and the ministries.
Which ministries?
All of them. Anyway, the 4th Armored covers Bagram Air Base. 7th Armored is...
Why are they shooting down them helicopters?
I'm sorry?
The helicopters, Harold. Why aren't we giving them something to shoot down them helicopters?
The helicopters are a problem.
Charlie glares sarcastically.
You think?
Congressman...
They're shooting at Soviet gunships with infield rifles. That's basically what David Crockett used.
The Soviet Hind gunship is especially armor-plated to resist bullets.
Yeah, I know. So... You tell me what you need to shoot him now.
What do you mean?
Tell me what you need.
Harold raises his eyebrows.
Do you understand what I'm saying? You tell me what you need, and I will go about getting it for you.
Congressman, I appreciate your generosity, but a sudden influx of money and modern weaponry would draw attention.
What?
A sudden influx of money and modern...
It would draw attention?
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know what that means. This is the Cold War. Everybody knows about it.
Should I continue with the briefing?
Have you been to these refugee camps? Have you heard these stories?
Congressman, I am required to give you a briefing. Should I continue?
No. Thank you.
Charlie strides away down the corridor. Next, a plane flying above clouds as the setting sun glistens off its shiny body and wings. Charlie and Bonnie are inside. Charlie appears agitated.
You know, I had a neighbor growing up with a name right out of Dickens. Mr. Charles Hazard. And Mr. Hazard didn't like the neighborhood dogs messing up his flower beds. One day I heard a bunch of yelling from across the street, so I ran over to Mr. Hazard's, and there were about 15 grown-ups standing around my dog. Teddy was writhing on the ground in obvious agony. Blood was pouring out of his mouth. Mr. Hazard ground up a glass bottle and put in a bowl of dog food and fed it to him.
What did you do?
Well, I got some gasoline and burned out his flower beds, but that wasn't satisfying enough. And then I remembered Mr. Hazard was an elected official. He was head of the town council. His re-election every 2 years was a foregone conclusion, so come election day, I drove over to the black section of town. Now, these people hadn't voted in any of these elections, so I was only 13, but I had a farmer's license, and I filled up my car with black voters and drove them to the polling place, and then waited and drove them on home. But before they got out of the car to vote, I said, I don't mean to influence you, but I think you should know Mr. Charles Hazard intentionally killed my dog. About 400 ballots were cast in that election. I drove 96 of them to the polls. Hazard lost by 16 votes.
Bonnie smiles.
And that's the day I fell in love with America.
She regards Charlie admiringly.
What time do we land?
7:30 a.m. in D.C.
I want the CIA in my office at 10. Assistant Deputy Director or higher. Tell them that if I don't see someone at 10, I'm going to start docking their allowance at a rate of $1 million a minute.
Charlie drinks.
Yes, sir.
Get me another one then, would you?
Yes, sir.
Next, a video plays in an office.
The AKs, RPG-7 grenade launchers, and 82mm mortars are coming into Pakistan by air and sea, and then trucks take them to the Afghan border.
Then we take them across on mules, which are running a little more than we thought.
The mules?
They're 2,400 apiece, plus we gotta get them checked out.
For what?
Diseases, foot and mouth, plus they have to have their ears cleaned.
The mules are getting better health care than the Afghans.
Plus, they're gonna cost a little extra if we want them pre-trained.
To do what?
Walk over a mountain with ammunition on their back.
Aren't they born with that instinct? I mean, isn't that something they want to do naturally? You think Afghanistan might one day think about building some fucking roads?
Gust.
Yeah.
I got something for you.
Next, Gust in Charlie's office.
The whole thing has changed. Get your diary. I'll show you.
Okay.
No problem. Thank you.
He should be here any moment.
Don't worry about me. I'm fine.
Good morning.
Good morning, Congressman. Welcome back.
Yeah, Marla.
Welcome back.
Suzanne.
Welcome back.
Charlie looks confused.
Who are you?
This is Gust Avrakatos. He's come up from Langley to bring you the information that you wanted.
Bonnie!
Yes, sir?
I said assistant deputy director or higher.
I know, sir.
No, assistant deputies don't come to the Hill without a subpoena. I'm the guy you want to talk to, Congressman. On the Afghan desk.
You're on the Afghan desk?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be too proud of that. I just got back from there.
I know, and that's a hell of a flight, too. The 9 hours flying time against the jet stream, probably to stop in Brussels, plus the time difference. I'd be a little grumpy myself.
I ain't grumpy because of the plane.
We wanted to give you this. We know you like single malt.
Yes,
it is. It's called Talisker, and it's mentioned in a Robert Louis Stevenson poem, The Scotsman's Return from Abroad, The King of Drinks as I Conceive It, Talisker, Isla, or Glenlivet.
Who are you again?
Gust Avrakatos.
Charlie considers for a moment.
Have Bonnie come into this meeting.
Yes, sir.
Gust enters Charlie's office.
What's the gift for?
It's from the Afghan desk for doubling the budget for the Mujahideen.
Oh. Well, thank you.
That was nothing.
Oh, it's a nice bottle of scotch. Must have been hard to get.
No, doubling the budget was nothing. $10 million for covert ops against the Russian army is meaningless. What are you, an infant?
Now you hang on just 1 second. I don't remember your name.
Gust Avrakatos.
Gust Avrakatos.
Yeah.
Okay, you mind if I call you Gus?
Yeah, well, my name's Gust with a T, but I don't care.
15 hours ago, I offered Harold Holt the keys to the safe, okay? I stood there in the office in Islamabad, and I said, how much do you need? And I was apparently annoying him.
Well, Harold Holt's a massive tool, Congressman. He's a cake eater, he's a clown, he's a bad station chief, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on a guy, but he's gonna get us all killed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how does he expect to defeat the Soviets in Afghanistan without a... He said a sudden influx of money.
An influx of money, new weaponry, draw attention. He's not trying to defeat the Soviets, Congressman.
What the hell are you talking about?
Excuse me. I'm the Congressman's aide, Bonnie Bach.
Gustav Ricardos.
Gus, I need the room for a second.
Sure.
Jailbait!
As Gus leaves, all Charlie's female aides enter with notebooks and pens.
Whoa, hey, Woke, all right. Just tell me what's happening.
A Justice Department task force that was formed last year to investigate reports of sex between members of the House and their male interns has recently widened to include the use of recreational drugs by senators and congressmen.
Do you know a man named Paul Brown?
Doesn't have to answer that. Keep going.
Oh, shit.
Paul Brown, under investigation by federal prosecutors for fraud.
He wanted me to invest in some TV show for Crystal.
Well, he's saying he witnessed you doing cocaine 9 times in a fantasy suite in Las Vegas. Brian Ross at NBC is breaking the story.
All right, guys. I was in Las Vegas with Crystal and Paul Brown because she wanted me to talk to him about this thing.
There was cocaine.
I want you to go in the other room and start on a statement.
Let's get Stu on the phone.
Okay, I'll call him.
Okay, but you just need to start.
All right, everybody. It's going to be all right. I want to get back to Gus.
Gus re-enters.
No problems?
No. What do you mean he's not trying to defeat the Soviets?
Well, he wants to bleed them. Pay back for Vietnam, make it so they just have to keep sending troops in and keep sending money and troops and money into this, go out of their fucking minds the way we did.
You mean to tell me that the U.S. strategy in Afghanistan is to have the Afghans keep walking into machine gun fire till the Russians run out of bullets?
That's Harold Holt's strategy. It's not U.S. strategy.
What is U.S. strategy?
No, strictly speaking, we don't have one, but we're working hard on that.
Who's we?
Me and three other guys.
Bonnie appears.
Would you, excuse me?
Oh.
As Gus leaves, again, all Charlie's aides enter purposefully.
All right, what do you have?
Representative Charles Wilson has learned he is joining several members of Congress who are under investigation by a Justice Department task force. It is investigating...
Don't say task force. It makes it sound like Elliot Ness is running the thing.
Who is running the thing? Who's the prosecutor?
Rudolph Giuliani, New York Southern District.
You know him?
No.
And it's been going on forever. Mm. We should say that, too. Representative Charles Wilson has learned he is joining several members of Congress who are under investigation by the Justice Department in what is now an 18-month-long, wide-ranging examination that has resulted in no convictions.
Congressman Wilson has not been charged with any crime, nor has he been questioned by the authorities. He denies any allegation of illegal or improper behavior and will fully cooperate with the ongoing investigation.
Okay. Why not Bastu?
Yes, sir.
They leave.
Gus!
Gus re-enters hurriedly.
You and three other guys.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you what I told Harold Holt. I can get the money. Now, the $10 million is a joke. Fine. What do you need?
To do what?
To shoot down the helicopters. To shoot down the helicopters. We can help them shoot down the goddamn helicopters. Everything's going to start going our way.
You know, there's a story about a Zen master and a little boy. Yeah.
Knowingly, Gus leaves again as Bonnie enters.
It's Stu.
Oh, you should be on this.
Charlie answers the phone while Bonnie listens in.
Stu? No, it's gonna be fine. It was a party in Vegas. A lot of drugs, a lot of people I don't know. I was there with Crystal Lee and this guy, Paul Brown, who wanted me to invest in a TV show for Crystal. I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's gonna be like a Dallas set in Washington. What, Stu, what does it matter? Okay.
Will Crystal back up your story that you weren't using?
Just go put out the statement.
You know what? You never should have been in the same room, Congressman.
Stung, Charlie reflects.
Gus!
Yeah?
The Swiss make an anti-aircraft gun called the Oerlikon.
Listen, Charlie.
20-millimeter cannon, high rate of fire.
I know the Oerlikon. Don't forget the limo driver.
What do you mean?
Oh, you took a limo from the casino to the airport, maybe. It's easy enough to track down the limo driver, hand him a subpoena, ask him if anything was going on in the back seat. So, you know, in terms of cleaning up this...
Were you listening at the door?
I wasn't listening at the door.
Were you standing at the goddamn door
No.
listening to me? How could you even... That's a thick door! You stood there and you listened to me?
I wasn't standing at the door. Don't be an idiot. I bugged the scotch bottle.
What?
Yeah, it's got a little transmitter on. I got a little thing in my ear. Get past it.
Don't believe this. Who the fuck are you?
It's not in my ear right now. Take it easy. I was going to tell you about it, but I'd leave the room for a second because you were getting indicted.
Oh, you're getting indicted. Is there a camera in here?
It's a little paranoid.
That's right. Will you take the bug off my scotch bottle now?
Sure.
I saw two kids had their hands blown off when they tried to pick up something shiny.
Sometimes the kids think those bombs are toys.
For children to pick up?
Yeah.
They're raping the women.
Yeah.
Bayonetting the pregnant ones.
That's as bad as it can be.
But they still want to go out and fight the Red Army, each and every one of them. I've never seen anything like that.
No, me neither. Let's be clear. I want to kill Russians as much as you do.
is the Articon the right gun? Is that what they should have?
Now, you know what? You've had a long flight. You're under a lot of stress. You're under arrest.
Oh, you're under arrest. Do you drink?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, should we try? This scotch is going to release sarin gas when I open it.
Well, I don't think so, but open it over there.
Charlie gingerly pulls at the cork, then pours some.
How'd a guy like you get into the agency?
What, you mean a street guy?
You ain't James Bond.
You ain't Thomas Jefferson, so let's call it even.
The deal.
Charlie hands Gus the glass.
Since there's no other reason I should be here, let's assume it's because I'm very good at this.
They clink glasses, then drink.
They need to shoot down the helicopters, Gus. They need at least, 50 Articons.
That's going to cost a lot more than $10 million.
Now, say, for the fourth time, I can raise the money.
How?
Is the Articon the gun I should be recommending?
I'm not sure.
Who is sure?
A weapons guy named Mike Vickers. I'll call him.
Yeah, let's call him right now.
Next, people playing chess in a park. Charlie and Gus with cups of coffee are walking along.
All right, here's a test. You see the nerdy-looking kid in the white shirt playing against the four guys at once?
Yeah.
Which one of the guys do you think is a strategic weapons expert with the CIA? That was a trick question, Charlie. It's the nerdy-looking kid in the white shirt. All right, no reason this can't be fun, you know. Mike!
Just a second.
Need you now, Mike.
Mike approaches another chessboard and makes a move, then goes to Charlie and Gus.
Keep playing.
Mike Vickers, this is Congressman Charles Wilson of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee.
How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. How old are you?
I'll be 30 next week.
This is the CIA's weapons expert.
One of them.
But he's the most senior.
Look.
Mike! Yeah, Bishop to Queen's Knight, 7.
See, he's playing without even looking at the board.
That's a useful skill. If Afghanistan's ever invaded by Boris Spassky. Did my office not make it clear to Langley that I'm in no mood to be fucked around
Charlie.
With? You answer to me, you answer to Jim Baker. Which do you want?
All right, the guy's a fucking Green Beret, Charlie. Are you trained with the SEALs? No one's trying to fuck with you.
Mike? What was your move? Knight to Queens, Bishop 5. All right, Queen to King's Rook 3. Guy on the right. You don't want to trade Queens with me. Shit.
All right. I apologize.
Okay.
Everybody friends?
As a former naval officer myself, Mike, I should have known better.
As a former naval officer, I'd have been surprised if you had.
Now, what the fuck?
Hey.
He said he was sorry.
What can I do for you, sir?
All right, he wants to make a recommendation to a subcommittee. A Swiss-made Oerlikon STA anti-aircraft cannon. That's what you'd use to shoot down the Mi-24 Hein gunship in the mountains, right?
Well, the Oerlikon's a good start, but the Russians will just start flying higher altitude missions.
So what else do they need?
Same thing you give us, AK-47s, AK-74s, AKMS. Soviets didn't come into Afghanistan on a Eurail pass. They came in T-55 tanks. The fighters need RPG-7 anti-tank grenade launchers, Katyusha 107mm rockets, wire mines, plastic mines, bicycle bombs, sniper rifles, ammunition for all the above, and frequency-hopping radios and burst transmitters, so you guys are so fucking easy to find. Well, I've written it all in a report you can read. You'll be the first one who did.
Stunned, Charlie composes himself.
Send a copy of it to me by secure courier right away.
Cool. All right.
Gus and Charlie walk away.
There was a report?
It's not that simple.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, it's covert. When an Afghan freedom fighter gets captured, it can't be with an American-made weapon on him. That's how a Cold War turns into an actual war, and that's something you want to keep a good eye on.
So anything we give him has to look like it could have plausibly been captured from the Soviets.
Yeah, that's right.
You know who's good at that?
Israel and Egypt.
That's right.
You know, what Vickers has described it there could cost as much as $40 million.
I can get the appropriation.
Yeah, how? I want to know, how are you going to get the approval of Congress when they're saying no to the Contras for nothing, for $5 million, a request made by the president?
When a black approach makes it through this subcommittee, the full body has to vote on it blind. They know the dollar amount, but they don't know what it's for. So theoretically, your $10 million can become $40 million without anyone ever noticing but the Russian army.
Because Congress wouldn't notice voting on it.
That's the beauty of it.
All you need are the 9 other subcommittee members.
All I really need is a committee chairman.
Doc Long.
Doc Long.
And when Doc's backing, you'll get the votes of the other committee members.
Yep.
I don't believe you.
I don't care.
And until the phone rang this morning, Charlie. I didn't know. I never heard of you.
Well, ask around.
I did.
What'd you find out?
That your greatest legislative achievement in 6 terms is getting reelected 5 times.
Anything else?
That you hold more IOUs than any member of the House.
How about that? I represent the only district in America that doesn't want anything. They want their guns. They want low taxes. That's it. I can do favors. I get to vote yes a lot.
They stop.
Now, me and 3 other guys are killing Russians. I mean, is it possible that I've met the only elected official in town who can help?
Charlie smiles wryly.
Give me a week to set things up. Go pack a bag. I have a friend, arms dealer in Israel. He's who we need for this. God help us.
Should be interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
In Jerusalem.
We need you, Zvi. You're going to be our man inside the Israeli parliament.
I'm not in the Israeli parliament.
That's what's going to make you so effective. No one has your pull with the 10th Knesset. No one has your relationship with the speaker. We're going to need your arm around Menachem when he finds out that we're working with Egypt and the Saudis. Tell him.
Hmm?
Tell him why we need him.
I'm not saying anything.
Why not?
I don't know who the fuck these two other guys are.
Well, are they bodyguards?
Not ours.
Zvi.
Lech.
The bodyguards leave.
Now, just to sum this up in a nutshell, you want me to move Israel toward a partnership with Egypt, Pakistan, and Afghanistan.
And Saudi Arabia.
Well, just a couple of problems I can foresee off the top of my head.
Look.
Charlie.
I know.
Pakistan and Afghanistan don't recognize our right to exist.
Calm down.
We just got done fighting a war with Egypt, and every person who has ever tried to kill me and my family has been trained in Saudi Arabia.
That's not entirely true, Zvi. I mean, some of them were trained by us.
Yes. That's a sense of humor. It's a bit of a quiet taste. Now, Zvi, look at me. This is the front of the Cold War. It's not in Berlin, it's not in Cuba, it's not in Czechoslovakia. It's in a pile of rocks called Afghanistan. These are the only people who are actually shooting at the Russians. Now, you and I know we have to get Soviet-made weapons into the hands of the Mujahideen. And you and I know where the largest stockpile of Soviet weapons outside the Soviet Union is.
I can't tell you offhand how many and what kind of weapons we've confiscated.
I can. These are Kiel 11 satellite photos. They've been degraded so I can show them to you. I mean, that's a five-wheel chassis tank. That's not the MK-1, that's a T-55. And it and four others are about 12 miles from here.
What do you want tanks in mountains for?
Well, we don't. I just wanted you to know I know you got them.
$35.5 million?
Which you'll be able to appropriate.
Yeah.
Without the press asking questions about it.
You know, there's good news there, because the press is going to be busy asking about a weekend in Vegas, and is pending arrest on charges of narcotics possession.
Oh, Gus.
Shit. Charlie.
It's nothing.
Is this true?
No, for our purposes, it doesn't really matter.
Thank you.
I'm just explaining to him that as long as the press sees sex and drugs behind the left hand, you can park a battle carrier down the right hand, no one's gonna fucking notice.
What the hell?
It's not germane. It's not germane to these people who are fighting and dying and being massacred in their homes. Now, for the love of Christ, will you help us help them shoot down these fucking helicopters?
Zvi regards Charlie gravely.
I love you, Charlie. But you are a grown man who still hasn't learned to look both ways before he crosses the fucking street.
Charlie and Gus tentatively await a response.
Yes, I mean. But I don't like this guy.
I know how you feel.
What happens now?
You come with us to Cairo.
This meeting is going to be unprofessional.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be talking to the deputy defense minister while his boss gets a belly dance from a friend of Charlie's.
What?
A good friend of mine back in Texas is a well-known belly dancer. It's always been her dream to perform in Egypt, so she's our way in. While she's dancing for the defense minister, we'll be talking to the deputy.
Oh, my God.
Nah, she's supposed to be good.
Cairo in the shimmering dusk. In a bar, Charlie's Texan friend is lit moodily as she prepares to dance. She waves her arms and shakes her hips seductively, making the gold tassels on her orange skirt fly. Then slithers down the back wall into the splits position. The Egyptian defense minister ogles her lustily.
That's an extraordinary woman.
Oh, yeah.
She slides on her belly along the floor towards the minister.
That's not any belly dance I'm familiar with.
That's why I wanted the defense minister to see you.
This is your girlfriend?
Carol's a friend. She's an old friend.
I understand her father didn't allow dancing because of the religion.
Yeah, that's correct.
What religion is that?
She's a Baptist.
As I was saying, the Russians will learn, I'm quite afraid, the hard way, to fear God's vengeance upon those who oppress his humble servants who submit to him in Islam. Their skulls will hang from the treetops.
You can do whatever you like with the skulls, I suppose. What has Gus here concerned is a SA surface air missiles y'all have. For some reason, he thinks they were stored poorly.
No, no, no. The SA-7s were stored properly.
Excuse me. What about the oppression of my people?
Oh, Zvi.
I beg your pardon?
Fellows, we have to do this now.
I am about to arrange for $35 million worth of guns to be put into the hands of Muslims.
I meant no disrespect.
Oh, really?
Well, anyway, none of this is important.
You have Soviet-licensed factories that can put out Kalashnikovs at a rate of 25,000 a week?
That's correct.
What about city warfare devices? Yeah.
What kind?
Bicycle bombs, limpet mines, plastic, tripwire mines.
Yes, yes. Whatever you need.
We can't improve the price now, but when we come back for more, we'll make it up to you.
I agree.
All right.
The defense minister is being led away by the dancer. Charlie and Gus look at each other, pleased. Next, they are on a plane.
Hey, you did good back there, ignoring the religious shit. Because these people are totally fucking unspooled. I'm not just talking about the Muslims.
Zvi's all right.
Oh, I know he is. He's Mossad, by the way. What I'm talking about is your friend in Houston. Right, she's got to stop throwing fundraisers, and she's got to stop doing press.
Joanne's raising awareness.
She's using a non-secular vocabulary and framing this as a religious war. America doesn't fight religious wars.
Huh. Is that right?
Yeah, that's why I like living there.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We will begin our initial descent into Washington Dallas Airport.
I gotta go down to Houston, so talk to her.
Yeah, I'll talk to her.
A party in Houston. Charlie is speaking to the Pakistani president.
You want me to go into business with the Israelis?
Just for this one purpose, yes, Mr. President. The Israelis have the largest stockpile of Soviet-made weapons in friendly hands.
I know that. I need to trust that this arrangement will remain secret. Pakistan and Israel would have to appear to be enemies in the public eye.
Yeah, I don't think that's a tough sell.
You have authority to do this?
None whatsoever. In fact, I'm pretty close to violating the Logan Act.
But I don't know what that is. But Charlie,
yes, sir.
If I see one fucking Star of David on a crate,
you won't. I promise.
Charlie turns to Joanne.
Hey, excuse me. You want me to take a look at those remarks?
Why?
Well, your introduction. Want me to look it over?
It's an introduction, Charlie. I'll be fine.
She gets up. Charlie looks across and sees a Jewish man. He smiles guiltily. Joanne approaches a microphone.
Today we honor President Zia-ul-Haq of Pakistan.
He stands honorably and receives a standing ovation.
Before we go any further, I would like you all to know this. President Zia did not kill Bhutto. In the time that he has been president, the fortunes of Pakistan have changed radically. I've asked you all here today.
After her speech, Joanne is striding purposefully along the corridors to the kitchen. Charlie is there drinking.
You disappeared.
Mm. Well, they weren't selling alcohol then.
It's a traditional Pakistani gathering.
You think they might be a lot happier over there if they could just get women and booze in the same room at the same time?
I think they'd be a whole lot happier over there if the communists got out.
Zia did not kill Bhutto. That's not something you usually hear in introductory remarks.
He didn't, Charlie. Bhutto had a trial and was found guilty.
Shocking verdict.
What did you need to talk to me about?
Joanne, darling, dial down the religion.
What?
It could alienate people who support the elite.
It's luncheons like this that are raising the money we need.
This thing is not going to get done by ballrooms full of people in the Houstonian Hotel. It's going to get done by the CIA, Israel, Egypt, and Pakistan, and it's going to get done quietly. Now, you start making people think we're trying to convert everybody to Christianity.
I was saved by Jesus Christ, Charlie, and I am not ashamed of it. My fervor is not about religion. It's about freedom of religion, which we have, they want, and the communists are slaughtering them for.
And I get it. Just tamp down the fervor.
I can't modulate God's will, sweetie.
You can try. Now, I gotta get back to D.C. They've set up a briefing for me at Langley.
On what?
On getting the guns.
Next, a meeting.
Oh. Afghanistan's barely a country. There's no phones or roads outside the cities. It's likely that a villager would live his life without having contact with another village 3 miles down the road unless he was going to war against them. Now, my thinking is, instead of 400,000 sloppy guys, we concentrate on several elite forces totaling about 150,000. Give these guys real training, 20 different courses covering a regular warfare discipline.
Right, do you have anybody in mind?
The most successful rebels to date are in the Panjir Valley. They're called the United Front of the Council of the North. We've earmarked them for 10 million in weapons and 10 to 15 agency advisors for training.
Who's their leader?
Ahmed Shah Massoud. He's Tajik, so he's not well liked by the Pashtun.
So Tajiks have a problem with the Pashtuns?
Well, they say when a Tajik wants to make love to a woman, his first choice is always a Pashtun man. It's funnier in the original Pashto.
All right, I've heard enough. I'm gonna go get our money.
All right, don't fuck us up now.
Awesome pep talk.
Afghanistan, Egypt, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, these are all totalitarian dictatorships. And they'd like to blow the only democracy in the region right into the Mediterranean.
Now, you heard me say that Israel is going to be on board?
Oh, well, Steve, rock is out of their mind. These people are draconian thugs. And in an evil and twisted derby between the communists and the fundamentalists, it's 6 to 5 and pick them as far as I'm concerned.
Now, you're wrong about that, Doc, and you know you don't mean it.
In Pakistan, a blind girl gets raped, but there's a witness. Now, in Pakistan, it takes 4 witnesses. So the rapist walks away and a girl is in prison. Can you tell me why?
Well, fornication.
That's right.
Mr. Chairman, President Zia is the only one willing to shoulder the risk of actively training and funding the Mujahideen. While Egypt, Saudi Arabia...
Now, the Saudis are matching any funding from Congress?
That's right.
So when you say 40 million to me, you're really talking about 80 million.
Only 40 from us.
You want to put $80 million in the hands of these people?
Now, see, Doc, now, if you took a trip with me to the border, you'd stop calling them these people. They are farmers and children, mostly, and they are fighting our enemies for us. And that should be impossible for America.
I know.
It should be impossible for America to sit on the bench while little kids and their mothers fight our enemies. Now, all you have to do to change that is to support me in the committee, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, Charlie, but doubling from 5 to 10 million is one thing. But you know, I just can't get behind this.
At Joanne's house.
Joanne Herring, residence, who's speaking? Miss Herring, Congressman Wilson for you.
She takes the phone.
Hello.
Hey.
Tell me what's happening.
Well, I need Doc Long, and he's not getting on board. Now, he's a church-going guy, so I thought,
you know, maybe you could...
So now you need God.
Yeah. Let me give you his private line.
I've got it. Trish.
Yes, ma'am. Boss.
Yeah. Hey, that's a nice sweater.
Oh, thank you. The Washington Times wants to know if you've ever been in rehab.
Well, what are you going to tell them?
That you won't go to rehab because they don't serve whiskey there.
Well, that's why you're the press secretary, boo-boo.
I've got Stu on the line. Can you jump on?
Yeah. Hey, Stu, it's me. All right. No, she's not a stripper, Stu. She just posed for the cover. What the hell difference does it make? They're talking to Crystal today.
Yeah. Giuliani subpoenaed the limo driver.
Oh, that's what Gus said he'd do.
Well, the limo driver said he didn't see anything.
He didn't see anything?
So Giuliani subpoenaed every limo driver between Arlington and Silver Spring to see if any of them can recall you using cocaine.
Joanne Herring's on the phone.
Hey, you.
We're all leaving in the morning.
You're kidding.
No.
Well, what did you have to promise him?
There's a blind girl in jail because she was raped.
Yeah?
You're gonna get her out.
What, I gotta bust somebody out of jail?
Don't be stupid, Charlie. You can tell Zia to pardon her. That's Doc's condition. I'll fly in tonight. Buy me a drink.
Yes, ma'am.
We're almost there, Charlie.
Charlie looks relieved.
I'm going back to Pakistan tomorrow.
Later, Charlie's secretaries dance as Gus watches. Charlie and Joanne sit together.
Charlie!
You want to refill here, Doc? Can we get another round? Mario!
Charlie goes to the bar as Gus approaches Joanne and sits.
Hey, Joanne. Can I call you Joanne?
Yes.
You want to dress considerably more modestly when we're at the border.
Well, thank you, but I have been passionately involved with the cause of the Afghans for 3 years. I've been there many times.
Okay, well, I'll just go fuck myself.
I am not easily shocked, Mr. Avocados.
I knew you two were gonna hit it off right away.
Charlie.
Huh?
Sorry, Stu's on the phone. You can take it at the bar.
Stu? This can't be good.
Gus, smoking, stares into his drink.
How'd you hook up with Charlie? Are you also passionately involved with the cause of the Afghans?
No, I just wasn't really doing anything else.
I mean, how did you get into the CIA?
I didn't. I'm with the Department of Agriculture.
Food and Plant Division.
Specifically apple imports.
You don't seem like the apple type.
I know.
What does that mean?
Where are you from?
What do you care?
Are you a Catholic?
Greek Orthodox, Miss Herring.
That's still Christian.
Imagine my relief.
What's your problem with me?
You know, I found in my business that when people with time on their hands get involved in politics, I start forgetting who I'm supposed to be shooting at.
That would be in the apple import business.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll have to remember that.
Please do.
It's over! It's over! It is over! That was Stu, and it is over.
Wait, wait, wait. Crystal didn't name you?
Well, she witnessed me doing coke in the Cayman Islands.
Oh, shit, Charlie.
No, it's all right. That's out of the Justice Department's jurisdiction, so it is over. I'm going home. Gus, Joanne, most important trip of our lives in the morning, so let's get plenty of sleep. I'm going home. Jailbait, slap my
ow.
Mario, it's all on me.
Yes, sir.
He may be in trouble with the press, but he stayed out of jail. You don't see God's hand in this.
Well, reasonable people can disagree, but I don't see God anywhere within miles of this. On the other hand, if you slept with me tonight, I bet you I could change my mind in a hurry.
Oh, you would.
Yeah.
Gus nods nonchalantly.
I'll see you on plane.
Joanne takes her things and leaves as Gus watches furtively. She passes Charlie's team of girls.
Sluts.
Charlie, Joanne, Representative Doc Long are in Pakistan. Doc is being led through the crowd towards a makeshift school. Joanne approaches Charlie.
Doc's eating this up.
Yeah.
We're gonna get the money.
Charlie! Charlie!
Guy's a little senile.
Don't be fooled.
He chairs the subcommittee.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, Joanne, this has been an absolutely eye-opening experience. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. Tell him what we saw, Mr. Papadopoulos. Tell him. They only want to go back there and fight.
And you're their savior, Mr. Chairman.
No, I wouldn't go that far. No.
Watch this. She's going to lock it right on.
These people have been waiting for you. They have been sitting here and bleeding and waiting and praying for you. It's only going to be a man like you who can save them. We know, don't we, about our men, what they can do when they summon themselves.
Charlie, I think they want you to make some remarks.
No, you should do it, Mr. Chairman. These people have been waiting a long time for you. Show Muriel what you can do. Show your wife.
I'm a little bit emotional about what I'm seeing here today.
Show her.
He turns to his wife.
You can do it.
They kiss.
All right.
Doc takes a microphone as he walks to a platform.
Papadopoulos.
Well, it's Greek. It's in the ballpark.
My friends, Zamatostano. My son served in Vietnam. He was wounded fighting in battle against the Soviet oppressors.
I didn't know that about his son.
So you see, I'm no stranger. No stranger at all to the horrors and atrocities of the communists.
Komunistano vashato vjedayat sarahits beganayam.
I talk about God for one simple reason. We need him on our side.
These Russian gunships, every last one of them, are going to be blown right out of the sky. We're going to see that you have guns, and we're going to see that you have training.
Well, what I think's got Gus worried is that sooner or later, God is going to be on both sides.
This is good against evil. And I want you to know that America is always going to be on the side of the good. And God will always punish the wicked.
The people applaud and punch the air victoriously. Doc joins in, looking pleased. Looks at Gus to catch his eye. Next, grainy footage of a plane flying through the blue sky. Men push large crates out of the hold and they fall into the sky as parachutes attached to them open up. Donkeys carrying military equipment are being guided through the desolate mountains. Now trucks and tanks drive along dusty tracks. A helicopter fires missiles at a bridge which explodes in grey smoke. Charlie is lying on his sofa watching all this on the television.
This has been a year of setback and frustration, and the Soviet Army, more than at any time since the war began, now has the upper hand. The Mujahideen are pinned down. The Afghan resistance has been sanctified by the United States, but the support has not been translated into military hardware. The guerrillas still cling to the Kalashnikov, but it's not enough. They're waiting in vain for bigger, modern weapons to turn on the Red Army. The guerrillas survived the raid.
The Soviets now are conducting some of the heaviest bombing of the war. The Soviets have put more troops and equipment back in.
Communist bastards.
Next, a helicopter lands on a mountainside. Charlie is in a refugee camp listening to demands.
Don't send us rice and bandages. Give us weapons so that we can shoot down their gunships.
Back in Washington, Charlie and Gus are working.
It's called the Milan anti-tank missile.
Can the Afghans win without it?
No.
End of discussion.
I would like to have the previously approved sum increased by an additional $30 million, bringing the total appropriation to $70 million.
I'd like to introduce the Milan anti-tank missile. We've got 300 in the field. Yeah. Yep. Let's kill some Russians.
Grainy footage of a Humvee driving along a dirt track. Suddenly it is hit with a missile and bursts into flames. Now some Afghan men appear, firing rockets at tanks. Next, Charlie with a group of men in suits.
Voting to pump up the money for the freedom fighters is the only way for the Northeastern liberal to prove that he's serious.
How much are you asking for?
I'd want to go from $70 million to $100 million. If you vote for me, I can deliver the Black Caucus for the farm subsidy.
Next, a plane drops a series of boxes attached to parachutes. A man bows in prayer next to a rocket launcher he's just obtained. As armed Afghans march, Russian helicopters take off elsewhere. The pilots speak to each other. Two kilometers south-southwest, coordinate square 2024. Happy hunting. Is the airspace clear? No birds but us. Killing season. As the helicopters fly over the mountains, two Afghan men run out from some shrubbery and inexpertly aim a rocket launcher at them. The Russian pilots continue to chat. She says she doesn't think I'm the kind of guy who can be serious. Powering weapons. Roger, fangs out. You're hot in the front. Fire. The Russians open fire on a village. People scatter in terror. The pilots continue to idly chat. Also, define serious relationship. What does that mean? Monogamous? Is that what she means? The Afghans fire the rocket and watch as it trails off towards the helicopters. It finally hits one which bursts into flames and crashes. The Afghans celebrate wildly in shock. The Russian pilots panic. Get out! They've got something down there! Get out! Break left! Get the fuck out of there! Break left! Get out! Break left! More Afghans with rockets emerge and fire at the escaping helicopters. The rockets hit them and the Afghans again celebrate ecstatically. Pieces of flaming helicopter crash down into the village. Next, Bonnie is striding down the White House corridors, ponytail swinging, to give a note from Gus to Charlie, which says, "We just shot three of them down." Charlie hugs and kisses Bonnie excitedly as the suited men he was speaking to watch.
They ask you quite reasonably enough, how did you vote on that? And I swear to God,
He looks over at his staff guy. Oh. He had to check with an aide for an answer to that question.
I don't know how the guy stays in office.
Captions read, Spring 1987, 34 Soviet helicopters destroyed. Spring 1987, 21 fixed-wing aircraft destroyed. Summer 1987, 33 Soviet helicopters destroyed. Summer 1987, 28 fixed-wing aircraft destroyed. Summer 1987, 67 tanks and armored personnel carriers destroyed. Fall 1987, 41 Soviet helicopters destroyed. Fall 1987, 75 tanks or armored personnel carriers destroyed. Next, a military briefing.
It was the bombing-led group. They set an ambush here at the Fulati Bridge.
What'd they get?
Four supply trucks coming out of Bagram Air Base.
They hit a Soviet motorized rifle battalion on horseback?
You bet your ass.
And these guys are pretty good.
Winter 1987-88, 83 tanks or armored personnel carriers destroyed. Winter 1987-1988, 18 fixed-wing aircraft destroyed. Winter 1987-1988, 22 Soviet helicopters destroyed. Next, Harold Holt complains to Henry Gravely as he dresses up as Santa at an office Christmas party.
We can't control this thing anymore. And the man stood in my office in Islamabad, and I told him a sudden influx of money and weaponry...
Could you hand me that belt, please?
Thank you. And how is it possible that this congressman of no particular importance is doing this by himself?
I will admit it's not unimpressive.
Now, is this the war we want to be fighting, Henry? Huh?
Harold, whatever he's doing, believe me, it's working.
Spring 1988, 19 Soviet helicopters destroyed, 43 tanks or armored personnel carriers destroyed, 22 fixed-wing aircraft destroyed. Next, Charlie in a conference.
The CIA estimates that 7 out of every 10 times the Muj fires a Stinger, a Soviet chopper or a plane falls out of the sky. Now, Russian MiGs go for $20 million, Stingers go for $60,000, $70,000.
What do you want to do?
Well, I'd like to double the $250 million.
Remind me again, where did this thing start?
$5 million.
Joanne's house.
Hello?
Is this Mrs. Joanne King Herring Davis?
Where's it at, Charlie?
How's the honeymoon?
Am I ever gonna see you naked again?
Where's it at, Charlie?
$500 million. Matched by the Saudis.
$1 billion.
That's right. Billion with a B.
Where does this rank relative to other covert wars?
There's never been anything else like it.
Since when?
Ever.
I miss you, Charlie.
Ah, Joanne. I always miss you.
I better go.
Joanne hangs up smiling as another man sleeps in her bed. Next, a party in Charlie's honor.
Congratulations on your re-election.
Yeah, thank you. Tell me what you know.
Doc Long's gonna lose.
Yeah. We saw that coming.
Yeah, so who's gonna be our wallet now?
John Murtha.
Is that good news?
Yep.
Why?
I was his vote on the ethics committee.
Yeah, you're a very, very easy man to like, Congressman.
Call me tomorrow morning at high noon.
I will. Bye-bye.
April the 14th, 1988. Soviets signed Geneva Accords. Charlie is in Afghanistan.
We present you with this Stinger tube.
There was wild jubilation inside the country of Afghanistan as last weekend it became the first country in history to defeat the mighty Soviet Union.
The retreat of Soviet military power from Afghanistan is complete. The last of Russia's regular army invasion force is out. Fear and uncertainty were mixed with joy today as the commander of Soviet troops followed the last of his men across the border. CBS News Moscow correspondent Barry Peterson begins our coverage.
It was the last hurrah, the final Soviet combat troops crossing the Friendship Bridge on the border between Afghanistan and the Soviet Union. The Soviet commander, Lieutenant General...
Look what you did, Charlie.
Hey, it's traditional to make a gesture towards the vanquished. Gus, it's your honor.
Okay, well, here's to you, you motherfuckers.
...to the world that the era of Soviet military intervention in other countries is now over.
Charlie and Gus are on the balcony.
Well, I've told you.
Told me what?
All we had to do, shoot down the helicopters.
Listen, not for nothing, but do you know the story about the Zen master and the little boy?
Oh, is this something from Nitsa, the Greek witch of Aqualipa, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. There's a little boy. On his 14th birthday, he gets a horse. And everybody in the village says, how wonderful, the boy got a horse. And the Zen master says, we'll see. 2 years later, the boy falls off the horse, breaks his leg. And everybody in the village says, how terrible. And the Zen master says, we'll see. Then a war breaks out, and all the young men have to go off and fight, except the boy can't because his leg's all messed up. And everybody in the village says, how wonderful.
And the Zen master says, we'll see.
So you get it.
No, because I'm stupid.
You're not stupid. You're just in Congress.
Send them money.
You start with the roads, move on to the schools, factories.
Gus, now it's a party.
Restock the sheep herds. Hey, give them jobs,
I'm
give
trying.
Them hope.
I'm trying.
Yeah, well, try
I'm,
harder.
I'm fine for every dollar.
Yeah.
I took you from 5 million to a billion. I broke the ice on the sting in the Milan. I got a Democratic Congress in lockstep behind a Republican president.
Well, that's not good enough, because I'm going to hand you a code word classified NIE right now, and it's going to tell you that the crazies have started rolling into Kandahar like it's a fucking bathtub drain.
Jesus, Gus, you could depress a bride on her wedding day.
Hey.
Gus pours Charlie's drink away.
Listen to what I'm telling you.
Charlie regards Gus, contemplating. Then he embraces him.
You did a hell of a job for the son of a soda pop maker.
We'll see. Said the Zen master.
Gus goes back into the party, leaving Charlie alone on the balcony. Next, Charlie is in another meeting.
$1 million for school reconstruction?
Oh, shit, Charlie.
Listen.
It's like the congressman from Kabul.
Did you hear me say it was a million, not a billion, for school construction?
Yeah, we heard you. Everybody heard you, buddy. They heard you in Dover, Delaware.
Well, I sure hope I'm not annoying you, Bob, because that's the last thing I want to do.
Look.
I was in the Roosevelt room with the president last week. You know what he said? He said Afghanistan. Is that still going on?
Well, it is. Half the population of that country is Charlie. Under the age of 14. Half the population is under the age of 14. Now, think how fucking dangerous that is. They're going to come home and find their families are dead. The villages have been napalmed.
And we helped kill the guys who did it.
Yeah, but they don't know that, Bob, because they don't get home delivery of the New York Times. But even if they did, it was covert, remember? This is what we always do. We always go in with our ideals, and we change the world. And then we leave. We always leave. But that ball, though, it keeps on bouncing.
What?
The ball keeps on bouncing.
Yeah, we're a little busy right now reorganizing Eastern Europe, don't you think?
We've spent billions. Let's spend a million on HR-118 and rebuild the school.
Charlie, nobody gives a shit about a school in Pakistan.
Afghanistan.
Charlie appears hurt. The others shrug. Next, Charlie is at home alone drinking. A tear escapes one eye.
So, for the first time, a civilian is being given our highest recognition, that of honored colleague. Ladies and gentlemen of the clandestine services, Congressman Charles Wilson.
Charlie receives a heartfelt standing ovation. Barney and Gust both applaud admiringly and with pride. Joanne blows him a kiss. Charlie smiles humbly to himself. Quote from Charlie Wilson. These things happened. They were glorious and they changed the world. And then we fucked up the endgame. The end.
Cutting from Washington to Afghanistan to California in three different stories, each with a common link. America's War in the Middle East, directed by Robert Redford, who also stars along with Tom Cruise and Meryl Streep. Lions for Lambs, tomorrow at 8 on Sky Movies Drama.
Children's Champions is a